Atlantic's Usenet is now in session. This is your net control station, Kilo Charlie 7, November Yankee Romeo. My name is Mark, and I'm located in Beaverton. This net meets every Monday at 8:10 p.m. local time. The primary purpose of this net is to share information about the Linux operating system in regards to amateur radio use. Our primary link repeaters are the 147.32, 442.325, 444.125, and the 147.040 megahertz repeaters, all having a 100 hertz tone. Hey, KC7NYR, let's move right into Linux in the news. Just have one news item this evening. Librem 14 Linux laptop to go on sale in December. It's all because Intel supply issues, parent company says. Got this from news.softopedia.com, September 23rd. So if you're in the market looking for a new Linux laptop, you'd better delay your purchase for a few more months, as Librem 14 is now projected to ship in December. While originally expected the Linux laptop to go on sale earlier, Purism previously said the device was projected to go on sale in the early fourth quarter. The struggles that Intel encountered with the inventory for its new chips have pushed the date back to December. But according to Purism, the laptop will continue to be listed for pre-order with a $100 discount. So basically, you now have more time to get the Librem 14 cheaper once the device starts shipping. The laptop is available for a kind of stiff price of $14.99. It does come with a 12-thread, 6-core, 4.7-gig i7 10th generation Intel CPU. Should be pretty snappy. And I have the specs. I didn't want to go through all the specs if anybody wants to look it up. Or if you ask after I clear this article, just let me know and I'll go through the specs of that laptop. So anyway, for those who are interested in the Librem 14, you're looking in December before that laptop is ready for sale. Okay, that's all I have in Linux in the news. Do we have any comments and or questions about that news item?
KC7MM.
KC7MM, go ahead.
Yeah, Mark, in Linux pre-installed news, I also saw an item, I think just today, that Lenovo is going to be selling, or is currently selling, a whole line of laptops and desktops with Ubuntu pre-installed. So those would be more affordable, probably, a lot of them, than the Librem. So another step forward for Linux on actual stuff that you can buy off the shelf, KC7MM.
Hey, thank you for that, Russ. I did see that, but I didn't want to go back-to-back with the similar type articles, but you're right. Librem's a little bit stiff on the price. So Lenovo's has a lot of models. I saw that article as well. And there are others that are less expensive. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Okay, well, I thought I'd tell a story. The project part of the story was quite easy. I had the project done and completed in less than an hour. Anyway, I have a good friend who checked in tonight. His name is Hal, KC7ZZB. Hal and I have worked together over the years and been good friends for over 20 years. And he's been an avid Windows user all these years, but he's been listening to this net. And he stuck around tonight, which I'm glad he did, because tonight's story and experience is just about him. So a little background, I manage this net, but I'm the assistant net manager for the Aries District 1, and he's actually the manager. So he always hears the announcements every Monday on that net about this net, and so he followed us over here, and it perked his ears, and he, next thing you know, he has questions. And so we got to talking. He says, well, I got a laptop laying around here. I'd like to try out Linux. So I said, will you hand me that laptop, and I'll put on the fastest version of Linux I could for you, and I'll hand it right back to you. So today he got a hold of me, and I met up with him. He handed me an HP Pavilion G6. Specs on it, basically that's a 64-bit. It's a dual-core. It's not a quad-core, but fast enough to run Linux, and it's got 4 gigs of RAM, which will do a fine job. So I selected Linux Mint LMDE4, and the reason is because it's Debian, which is Buster 10, which relatively runs faster. So he handed it to me, and I brought it home, and before the net, I sat down, plugged it into LAN cable, grabbed my USB stick. I had it installed and running and updated within an hour. So I am really happy to share that story, because here's someone who's only used Windows, but yet because of this net and knowing and hearing all of our experiences with amateur radio and Linux, Hal is taking the big splash. So congratulations to Hal, KC7ZZB. I'm glad he was here tonight. I would have told the story anyway, and I'll be handing that back to him in a few days so he can start the fun journey with Linux. And by the way, the Wi-Fi connection and everything works fantastic. It runs just fine. So that's my story and my project, as most of us know how smooth and easy the installation of Linux goes. So anyway, that's all I have, what I worked on this week with Linux. Does anybody have any comments and or questions?
KF7HVM.
HVM, go ahead.
Yeah, since we got Hal on the net here, I'm curious what he plans to use the laptop for, if there's any particular applications, or if he's going to use it for ham radio type stuff. Just curious what the use case is.
That's a good question, Hal. KC7ZZB, you want to answer that, sir?
Okay, well, to start with, that laptop, all I did is I kept that one in the side pocket of my easy chair in the house, and if I wanted to play check things or research or to surf the web for different things, that's what that particular laptop got used for all it. But the term that I was used to and worked with Windows, I think it'd be more apropos to say that I fought with Windows. It seems like every time that I get used to a system, they come along with a different one or update it, and then you got to go in and redo everything, and things keep changing and on and on. But Windows users know that, and that's one of the things about Linux that I've been my ears perked up about, is you can do updates and you can do other things, but they aren't, as from what I've heard, as problematic as the system I'm used to. And so I'm going to play with it in the house and start to get used to it, and then figure out how I could get it set up for long-range Windows, because out here in the radio room, I've got a couple walls and 150 feet of airspace between the house and myself, to where the modem is closer to 175 to 200 feet away. So I'll... excuse me, my hay fever decided to kick in. But anyway, I'll figure out how to bridge that gap, and I'll let you know how I accomplish it when I do. And eventually I want to start putting radio programs on it, and maybe even use it to replace the desk model I've got out here in the shop now. We'll wait and see how it works out and how well accustomed I come to be able to use it and utilize it. KC7ZZB.
Oh, very good. Well, definitely one of my favorite things about Linux on the desktop is the stability of the environment. I set my grandparents up with Linux on their desktop back in 2014, and the interface has been unchanged since then, and they love it. So, KF7HVM, back to net.
Indeed so, and thank you, Mason, for asking that question. Does anybody else have any comments and questions for Hal? I know I'm saying welcome aboard, Hal. Anybody else have anything for Hal?
Yeah, Kilo Golf 7, Golf Delta Bravo, Brett here.
Hey, Brett, KG7GDB, go ahead.
I think I heard you say that Hal is involved in the District 1 Aries stuff. I'm curious as to whether he is going to do any kind of emergency communications using Linux, and that would segue into my question about, has anybody got some Winlink stations running on Linux right now? What are they doing with that? I sure don't like the idea that Windows keeps updating, you know, every second Tuesday of the month and needing a reboot. So if we can get a system that, and we have a little Pygate, you know, running our EOC, but I'm curious as to whether other people are going to try to use, any of these Linux applications. We have upcoming set here next week on the 3rd. How about it?
Hey, go ahead, Al.
Okay, that's one of the things I researched because that's one of the programs that I definitely have on the computer out here is WinLink, and both versions, RMS and the other one. But I have checked. They say they are compatible with Linux. So as far as things that I download, that's going to be one of the first ones I look for is load it and see how it operates. It should be the same as the way it works in Windows. But if I have any problems, I'll be on this net to ask questions about it. KC7ZZB.
Yeah, if I may add something there, Brett, and this is also for Hal. Qtel, which I could load on there for Hal before I give it back to him. Qtel, is Linux's version of WinLink, but it's in all Linux, so it does the same thing. And one of the problems I've been having with it, Brett, and also for you, Hal, is it works just fine, except I can't get the audio version of my mic to work, and I've tinkered with it until I'm blue in the face. So I'm waiting for some other folks in Aries and or who have been successful with it, and maybe, Brett, you have, but I have not. Go ahead, Brett, KC7NYR, net control.
Yeah, Kilo Golf 7, Golf Delta Bravo. Well, I've seen, you know, obviously WinLink Express is a Windows-only program. Now, I guess you can run it in an emulator or Wine or something. Of course, you can dual boot into it, things like that. One of my comrades in our unit has run something called PAT. That's Papa Alpha Tango. And says that that works for him as far as sending messages in and out of the system. I know that down in Sweet Home, we have a KG7BZ, Bravo Zulu August, has a LinBPQ32 system, which is a kind of a hybrid packet WinLink compatible system, and you can send WinLink messages over to his post office and have it, be a store and pick up kind of post office, and you can log in with WinLink to his station and drop the mail off there, and someone else can come back and pick it up. But I haven't. What I'm looking for is something that's more like the RMS gateway. And for a while there, they were developing something called Linux RMS, and then they kind of moved to something else, and I just don't know what currently, that's I guess what I'm looking for is a Linux RMS, which would act as a real gateway from within our network.
Yeah, let me correct myself. I apologize. I said Qtel. That's actually EchoLink. I apologize, everybody, for that. PAT is the equivalent to WinLink, in Windows, and let me make sure I understood that part. Brett, now, did he get his PAT working okay, where he was able to get these messages to move across the PAT program via Linux? Did he get that working okay?
Yeah, KG7GDB. That's my understanding, is that he was able to send WinLink messages via his, his radio, using PAT and some kind of Direwolf or sound card modem. So as a client program, yes, he got it working. Now, as a gateway, that was kind of more what I'm looking for, is more of the gateway kind of aspect of it, and I don't know if it even works like that. So we're still waiting to see there. Now, I know the PyGate, we have one of the PyGate devices that we built or bought or something. Somebody bought it, I think. But anyway, I've got there's two different ones. But the PyGate, there's two versions of PyGate RMS and a PyGate. They do kind of the same thing, but in one is a gateway, an internet gateway. That's, again, kind of like what we normally run with packet. And, you hook it up to a radio, and it takes the packet signal, and it just sends it on. And, again, I think it uses this LinBPQ32 as its engine to do that trick. And, you guys are, I guess they have a new version of this Ham Pie version 1.1, maybe you guys already announced it last week, that is a new distro, but I think it has Pat on it, and maybe the other one. So lots of choices, but I just wondered if anybody's actually got one working.
Well, thank you for that, Brett. We're going to pause and see if has anybody got to any of these particular programs working on Linux via either PyGate, and we're looking for Pat, or, you know, one of the gateway, via the gateway. Please come down with the call sign.
Hey, C7ZZB.
Hey, Al.
Yeah, I was just looking here, got my curiosity up anew, and I typed in, is WinLink RMS compatible with Linux? And the first thing that popped up, it says, I'm pleased to announce that newer versions of Wine 4.19 and above now work flawlessly with WinLink Express forms and templates. This means that WinLink Express, RMS Express, is fully functional on Macs and Linux. So Ling, L-I-N-G, as you are using recent versions of Wine. I think that's supposed to be so long. And then there's another one underneath that is listed as being at winlink.org, saying installing WinLink Express on Mac and Linux. Apparently they're updating some of their stuff. KC7ZZB.
Well, thank you for that. I haven't looked lately, Hal, so that's a test that I'll have to run. I'll have to check the version of Wine that I'm running on my my install and give it a shot to see if it will run on it. In the past, I couldn't get it to work, but maybe they've made some fixes. And thank you so much for that, Hal. Anybody else have any success with running any of these gateway programs, specific Echo Link, excuse me, WinLink, via on Linux? Please come down.
KI7NLF.
KF7NLS. Go ahead.
And just to clarify, NLF is in Frank. So I've run Pat, and gosh, I love the interface. It is refreshing using Pat after coming from WinLink. The user interface in WinLink I found a little bit challenging at times on Windows systems. But Pat is just gorgeous. It's, you know, it's one of those fancy new applications that everything is just flows together really nicely. Setting it up was a breeze. I loved using it. The only disadvantage is that it wasn't compatible with the forms that are attached to WinLink messages from WinLink Express. I've also used WinLink Express through Wine in Linux. I set this up probably 5 months ago or so, and it was a bit of a challenge to get the forms working. I had to play around with versions a fair bit. So I'm really excited to hear that new versions of Wine are working much more easily. So definitely going to have to check that myself. But I have managed to get both of them working, and they do work great.
Okay, KO7 November Lima Foxtrot, thank you for that correction. Well, I have a question. What flavor of Linux were you running Pat on?
Well, let's see, it was a laptop running Ubuntu, I think it was the latest version.
That's really great news. I still would like to get it to run, but it's been a while. I gave up and moved on to some other things. Thank you so much. I'm glad to hear that. I'm unfortunate about the forms not compatible, but still, for a Linux version, I think that's great news. And I'm also pleased to hear you had it running on Wine. Great news. Does anybody have any comments or anything? I didn't get your first name.
Oh, my name again is Kenny, and just for context, this is my first time checking in on the net, I heard you guys while I was capturing all of the 2-meter band with some software-defined radios last week, and got interested and decided I'd check in. I've got about 25 years experience doing systems administration with Linux. So I may be a little bit more patient than the average user with getting Wine all set up and configured. It was a bit of a hassle.
Okay, Kenny, yeah, I see you on my list there. I'm sorry about that. Yeah, that's okay. Well, anytime we get, you know, headaches and we bounce our head, we're looking for users like yourself who actually were successful. So we hope to hear you check in on a weekly basis and be a regular. Because we would love to pick your brains. Specifically, when we get stuck, we come back to the net and we share our stories, our pains, our suffering, and our victories. And we also come here when we get we need help, and we get help. And so we do appreciate that, Kenny. Did you have anything else for us?
Well, that's it about Windlink-related technologies. Thanks again for listening. KF7NLF.
Yeah, right on. By the way, kudos on the SDR picking this up on SDR first and coming on over. That's just fantastic. That just really tickles me pink. So thank you so much for joining us. We're pleased to have you. Okay, I believe I heard Kilo India 7 Papa Kilo Lima. Roy, did you have something for us too?
Yeah, and I heard myself, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I forgot the AC on my belt was still turned on, so that was the problem. I had it running on Raspberry Pi. I'm not sure when exactly it was, a year or two ago, somewhere in there. And it worked really well with my HF radio. I seem to have issues with a lot of things with my VHF radio. But I did use it on HF a couple of times. HF is kind of spotty, though, in general. The thing with the forums, that seems to be the biggest issue with Pat. Interesting to hear that there's hope getting it to run under Wine. I tried that, too, and I could not get .NET 3.5 to work. And I think that was my main problem, and it didn't work right under .NET 4.0. So, I'm going to be giving this a try, hopefully, pretty soon here. Back to you, KH7PK.
Indeed so. Thank you, Roy. I am going to give it a shot, too, and hopefully come back with either a success story or a nightmare on Elm Street. So we'll find out. It sounds very promising. If they're saying that the Wine program, and it sounds like Kenny has been successful, so we can all work together and give each other feedback and share and see how it goes, and hopefully we'll get Hal, KC7ZZB, up and running. Okay, this is KC7NYR Net Control Station this evening for the Linux Usernet. And before we move on, Roy, PKL, did you have time to give us an update on that phone of yours?
Well, some weeks that's a pretty low bar, and this seems to be one of them. I just downloaded some updates the past couple of days and did my usual little few tests that I do, and no visible change. So I've been playing with this thing for going on 7 months now. So just saying, somebody needs to. I know they have an enormous challenge. They're rebuilding everything from scratch, but man, I sure would love to actually get some real use out of this thing. And this week we built a new shed here. We had a death in the family and just a bunch of stuff happening, so I haven't had a lot of time for projects. But I was working on syncing two servers, file servers, and I hope to have more to say about that next week. I was trying something called Unison, and it looked very promising, iPod, but it seems to be very finicky. Something about having been compiled under different versions of this certain compiler, which I don't have. Yeah, the name escapes me at the moment. Wasn't a familiar name. But it seems to be a very finicky program after all. So you can also use rsync to do that, but rsync isn't really made for bidirectional syncing. So anyway, I hope to have maybe more to say about that next week, because that's a project that I have needed to get accomplished for some time now, and I keep getting very, very badly distracted. So anyway, back to you. Before I start going into the astronomy apps, KI7PKL, back to that.
Well, first of all, my condolences, my friend, about the loss in your family. That's something that's always a very tough thing to handle. Thank you for the update, and we appreciate that. Anybody have any questions about the phone update that Roy just shared? Please come now.
Kilo 9 Romeo Charlie Papa.
Romeo Charlie Papa, go ahead.
Yeah, I heard you were trying to do something with rsync for real-time syncing. Look into lsyncd, so live syncing daemon, and see if that will make it nice and warm and fuzzy. Anyway, Kilo 9 Romeo Charlie Papa.
Okay, K9RP, CP, LSYNC-D. Now, I believe the gentleman who had the question, I believe that was Brett, KG7GDB, was Is that correct, Brett?
No, he was just talking Kilo Golf 7 Golf Delta Bravo. No, I think Richard there was commenting on Roy's R-Sync project there. So Richard's working on synchronizing servers. He can tell you his project when it's his turn.
It's been a long day for me, guys. I do apologize. For some reason in the back of my mind, I was thinking that you had something that you were trying to sync up. Okay, sorry about that, Brett. I want to come back to you, Brett, because I didn't think we completed your round there. Anybody else have any comments about Roy's update? Hey, thank you for that feedback, K9RCP. I do appreciate L-Sync. I believe that Roy probably copied that correctly, and I did not, so we do appreciate that. Brett, did you have anything else? It sounded like we had some good feedback from KF7NLF. Looks like he was successful other than the forums that we're hearing about, but hopefully that was some encouragement. Did you want to add, or did you have anything else for us this evening? Okay, nothing heard. This is KC7NYR Net Control for the Linux Usernet. We're going to get opened up for another round of to find out what you're working on in regards to Linux and amateur radio or just Linux. Please come down with your call sign.
W7KLK.
I had a double, so stand by on the double. I did get Kathleen, W7KLK. Go ahead.
Thanks, Mark. So I just got my first terminal node controller, and as you know, I set up an old laptop of mine with a Linux, and I set it up with, I guess, Ubuntu or Mint or something like that. And but my first question is, I need some kind of software to kind of hook up with my terminal node controller. And if I'm right, does anybody have any recommendations?
Thank you, Kathleen. I haven't done it directly. Does anybody know what interface that she would need in Ubuntu to get her a TNC to start talking? Please come now.
KC7MM.
Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
I'll come back with a question. Kathleen, is your TNC hooked up through USB?
Yes. In fact, I'm just trying to get my cable set up. USB to what, RS-232? Yes.
Okay. Well, then that should show up in your serial ports. So when you're running an application such as WSJT or something of that nature that you want to run through your TNC, when you're configuring that program, it'll ask you to connect to a serial port, and that's where you would find the serial port for your TNC and select it there. You don't need any special software to actually connect on the serial port. KC7MM.
Thank you, KC7MM. That is what I was looking for. So I guess because of what I've been hearing tonight, then my next question has to do with because I wanted to use this specifically with ham related stuff, and so my next question would be: I have Ubuntu on? Can I install two versions of Linux on my computer?
Yes, you can. It's called a dual boot system, and if you what happens is when you it depends which version you select, and there's others who know probably a lot more than myself, but I can give you a brief summary. You would put the version that you want on either a disk and or a USB drive. When you insert it, it will come up. Usually they have a you'll be able to run that version without installing it. Most Linux flavors have that option. And then when you go to install it, it will ask you about partitioning, and it will recognize your previous installation. At this point, depending what version you're going to install, it'll either automatically help you partition the second the drive that you're on. Either it'll shrink it and or partition it into two partitions and allow you to install your second Linux system and create a new bootloader. And then what happens if that's all successful, and I'm giving you a general summary only, there could be some problems along the way. At that point, when it's done installing, and it has two partition drives, and it installs on a second drive. When you reboot, a menu will come up with option one of what your first system and option two of your second system, and you just enter which system that you want, and it boots into that second or first system, Roger.
Thank you. That is helpful. So thanks, Mark, and thank you, Russ. I will give this back to you so somebody else can get in. W7KLK.
Well, it's not a problem. That's exactly why we're here. And depending on the version, though, some versions, when you do dual boot, you have to manually partition, and GParted is the program. GParted, if you do have to manually do that. And just let us know which version you're going to install. And a lot of us may or may not know if you'll have to manually do that. Most of them will do it automatically. Roger?
That's Golf, Papa, Alpha, Romeo, Tango, Echo, Delta?
G-parted, yeah. Golf, Papa, Alpha, Romeo, Tango, Echo, Delta. G-parted is pretty much the best program that I've used in partitioning a hard drive manually prior to installing a second operating system, and you need to be careful so you don't damage your primary operating system. But some systems will allow you, it'll automatically, for instance, Linux Mint is one of them, and Linux Debian LMDU4 now allows you to automatically do it, but some of them do not, so that's where you'd have to use GParted to actually manually partition the drive, which means you'll shrink it and create a second partition for your second installation there, right?
Roger that. Thanks again. W7KLK.
Okay, thank you. Come on back if you have any questions or comments or anything you need help with. Was there another station out there that may have doubled that I did not recognize who wanted to share what you're working on in regards to Linux? Please come now.
KC7MM.
KC7MM. Go ahead, Russ.
Actually, I want to double back a little bit to the RMS Express installation on Linux. I found that same link that Hal did, and I followed it, and it gives a little advice that might be of interest. So first of all, they specify that it works only on Intel-based hardware. Can install it on an ARM-based machine like a Raspberry Pi. So that's out. It also recommends that if you're not a real handy with Wine, that you might want to consider using Crossover, which is a commercial program that is an elaboration on Wine. In fact, I think they actually maintain Wine as well. And that to use it, it costs, I think, $30 a year. But you can also run for, you know, 10 days a trial version or something like that. I have done that. It makes it real easy to install the .NET libraries, and that's one of the problems there. Also, there's another free one called Play on Linux, and I have used that. I use that to install antenna modeling software for Windows. So just a little more information on that. KC7MM.
Thank you, Russ, for taking the time to dig a little deeper. But it's interesting. I'm happy that there's someone out there that's got everything to work. And thank you for those two plugs. And also, although the one you do have to pay, it does work. So, although I prefer to get it to work without paying, and you know how we all are. That's Linux at its best, open source. Okay, anything else for us, Russ?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of stuff that I've been working on. Some of it's a little too long. We're getting up toward 9 o'clock. So I can. I have one question for people. I've been trying to work with Jack Audio, J-A-C-K, Juliet, Alpha, Charlie, Kilo, a little bit on my system because I want to run a bunch of things like my microphone and so forth into the radio and use it on a live mixer in the radio. I'm finding it really confusing. There's not a lot of good documentation on it. So if anyone has used Jack, and basically what the program does, it connects various audio components in running under Linux together, so you can take the output of one and hook it up to the other and there's some graphical programs that that help do that. But if anyone has any experience with that and or someplace that I can look to get some more information, I'd be happy to hear it. KC7MM.
Okay, thank you, Russ. Does anybody use Jack Audio? Please come now.
KF7HVM.
HVM, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just curious if you were using the Q Jack control. I find with Jack having a nice graphical interface kind of helps me get my head around the connections. And this one lets you just like drag wires across like some of those DAWs and really visualize, you know, what your inputs and outputs are.
Yes, indeed. In fact, I have Jack Control installed, and I was playing with that just yesterday, and it left me fairly confused. The identity of the sources and inputs and outputs and so forth doesn't match up with anything that I see anywhere else on the computer, input, output, and so forth. So I guess I'll have to dig a little more online. I've watched some YouTube videos that haven't helped me much. They're kind of specialized toward setting up blogging and or recording YouTube videos and whatnot. So I'll look at that, and I also found that there's another one, and I can't remember the name of it, and I'll look at that too. So thank you for that, KC7MM.
Well, thank you, Mason. KF7HVM, did you have anything else for us this evening?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the process of building an audio interface for doing this exact thing from a Raspberry Pi. Essentially, it's going to go USB to one of those cheap audio interfaces. But the main part that I'm struggling with is how to route the audio. So I'm looking at Jack a lot. So this is a topic that is fresh on my mind, and I'll probably come to the net with some more information on that in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, that would be awesome, Mason. Please do so. I know that this is a complicated topic, and if you can figure out something on your own, that would be helpful to Russ and the net. We surely like feedback, and also those who come up with some success work, we would love to hear about it, Roger.
KC7MM.
Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Oh, I'm pleased. I am really pleased to hear that, Mason. That is pretty much what I'm trying to do. I want to run the. I'm running a mic now straight into the radio. I'd like to be able to run it into the computer and do some signal processing and mixing and so forth there, and then send it on to the radio. So we can share notes on that. And indeed, if you have some success, please do bring it to the net. I'd love to know about it. KC7MM.
Okay. Well, thank you, Russ. Did you have anything else for us?
Nope, I'll just save stuff for next time, and I'll be farther along on the projects, and I'll have, hopefully, better things to say about them, KC7MM.
All right, thank you. Well, we've been authorized to go a little bit over by ARG. They've been very gracious to us as long as we're engaging, so I do have a homework assignment for myself. I'm going to go ahead, and I'm going to try the 4.19 or above wine. I'm going to try it with LMDE4 Mint first and see if I can get the interface to run, and then I'll come back with all my story next week. So that's my homework assignment. And because I believe everything KF7NLF said, I know he got it running, so it is something that's going to work, minus the form. So I'm going to give my very best to find out if that works. If I do have time, since I've heard that I don't have Pat on my installation on my Pi 4, so I'd like to give that a shot. Now, before I go, I do have a question for you, Russ. Now, Russ, did you say you were going to load Pi Gate on something?
He's a Uniform Zero Lima with a quick comment.
Hey, good evening, Kevin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I didn't catch her call sign, but the young lady that was doing the TNC, make sure that her permissions are right on that serial cable, too, or otherwise she won't be able to connect. KU0L.
Okay, hey, thank you, Kevin. KU0L got you checked in. And that was Kathleen. Kathleen, W7KLK, did you copy that?
Yes, I did copy that. I need to make sure I have the correct permissions.
That sounds like maybe Kevin has had experience with this, so... Kevin, can you elaborate further? For instance, if she does try to hook that all up, she should get an error message, correct, that will tell her something about permissions. Is that correct?
That is correct. It'll say can't connect, and I'm trying to think off the top of my head because I'm not a Linux machine, but there's a group you can put your user in that will give you access to that serial configuration or serial port. Russ might know it off the top of his head. KU0.
Okay, thank you, Kevin. I wrote that down so she gets into that problem. I think she's taking notes. Kathleen, did you copy that? Because it makes sense. If you get access to 9 to the serial port, you'll have to create a group, and there's instructions for that to put yourself in that group to get access to the port there, right?
KC7MM.
And there we are. Go ahead, Russ.
I was able to dredge that name of that group up from the depths of memory. It's the dial-out group, Delta, India, Alpha, Lima, Oscar, Uniform, Tangle, Tango, dial-out, KC7MM.
Russ, you're fantastic, my friend. Jot that down, Kathleen. Dial-out group is the access group for that serial port, so if you need that, you got that, Roger?
Yes, I'm scribbling furiously. I did get that. Thank you, Russ.
And thank you, Kevin, KU0L, for that. I forgot about that. There's so many things in Linux, and there's so many special serial ports. Okay, that's it for the evening, guys and gals and everybody. I do appreciate everybody joining us this evening, and we do appreciate ARRG for allowing us to go over this evening. Okay, the Linux Usernet is now closed at 8:09 p.m. local time. This net operates through the courtesy of the Amateur Radio Relay Group, Incorporated. If you want to learn more about supporting this repeater system, please visit ARRG at www.arrg.org. If you have any questions, feedback, or comments, send an email to linuxusernet@kc7nyr.com. For past sessions with Linux, links to reference material, search our Linux page located at kc7nyr.com or kc7mm.com. We thank all stations who participated and those who stood by to give us a clear operating frequency. Continued this discussion on the Linux Usernet at groups.io. This is Kilo Charlie 7 November Yankee Romeo, returning the frequency to normal amateur use. Good evening, everybody, and thanks for being here.
KC7NYR, this is K7ABX.
K7ABX, KC7NYR.
Was that website Linux in the Ham Shack of any value?
Extreme value, my friend. Actually, we have somebody posted that same website on our I.O. group, so thank you so much. Very interesting. A lot of great information there, Roger.
Okay, I figured you already knew about it, but I passed it along just in case you didn't, and you might want to put it on your KC7NYR website.
You're absolutely correct. I haven't had time to do it. But I will do it, and thank you. And, you know, I don't know a whole lot, so please pass on anything anyway. So, and thank you so much, Doug. It's a great great website, ton of great news. They also have some great videos there. And I appreciate you being here every week, Doug.
Okay. A couple months ago, I mentioned to you that Facebook had a Linux ham group, too. Did you ever look at that?
I think I did, and I think it's the same group that, yes, I think I actually joined that group.
I'll let you go. 73K7ABX, clear.
Hey, my friend, and thank you for being here every week, Doug, and continue forwarding that great information. I love the Navy reads are always a pleasure. 73K7ABX, KC7NYR.